Welcome back to Ping. This is episode
129.
That's right. 129 weeks or episodes of Paul and I bringing you the hottest stories that Microsofties are pinging each other about. Last week we had a bunch of good discussion on the message boards, but I just want to comment because people are upset that 127, the missing episode, has yet to air. But this is how dedicated Paul and I are to bring you episode 129.
How dedicated are we?
We are so dedicated. We are in the middle of a blizzard.
Yeah.
This is epic proportions, amount of snow coming down. Seattle, people just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
People are snowed in.
Well, it's not
we haven't been in the office.
It's not just that people don't know what to do. It's just that this city and the surrounding areas do not have the infrastructure to, like, actually plow the roads, put down ice.
Excuse me?
Put down ice.
Which I find odd because I've been here for 6 years, and it's snowed every year.
Every winter.
Yep. It snows. So why every year when it snows are they like, oh my God, we don't know what to do? I mean, I like it. Don't get me wrong.
Well, maybe,
I'm all in favor of being snowed in.
Maybe they're just not used to having a frigid ice queen here that just brings down the pain from up above.
Perhaps, you know, I mean, coming from the East Coast, you people in New York, you know what I'm talking about.
Or the Midwest.
Yeah.
Midwest side.
This isn't snow.
Yeah.
This wouldn't shut down New York.
No.
They'd be like, whatever. Let's go hang out. Let's go to 7-Eleven. But here in Seattle, we are pretty much shut down. But Paul and I drudged through the snow to come and shoot.
I did. I drudged.
I did. Nice. Well, we appreciate it, Paul.
Everyone should. Well, people should also appreciate that from time to time, Laura does, in fact, tell the truth about things. So, like, Jay Klee was wondering whether or not your dog had actually eaten your laptop. If that was really the reason.
That is the truth.
And we even put on pictures.
Yeah, that was the dog eating laptop. Yeah. So this week I have this laptop, which is an old laptop, with a cracked screen.
Yep.
So
And only one missing key.
Well, because the dog got to this one, too.
I got him
in time. He didn't get to the whole keyboard.
Yep.
He really enjoys keyboards and slippers.
And everyone agrees with me on the Nokia pronunciation.
Everyone was wrong.
Well, okay.
This is a conversation. This argument needs to die.
Well,
I'm over it.
Well, there are other people that are starting to talk about this in the community now, so everyone's like sending us their links. So I think we were the fire starters behind
this. Nice. I'm glad we can be so influential
in the
interweb.
And then commenter Sense, C-E-N-T-S, he wanted...
As opposed to like S-E-N-S-E?
Or S-C-E-N-T-S.
Correct, mm-hmm. Correct. Okay, what does Dallas and Sense have to say?
S-I-N-C-E.
Sense?
Yeah.
Hmm...
It's kind of like
different.
Milk. People can mispronounce it all the time.
Yeah, I don't.
Kind of like Nokia. anyway, he wanted the link to Ben's video where he was competing with the Windows phone.
My Windows phone smoked your phone!
That's right.
I like that video. Good job, Ben.
So I put that in last week's comments, so just go back to Ping episode 128 or 127 part B.
Right.
And just look at that.
Let's get started with 129?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
All right, so exciting predictions for the Windows Phone team and Windows Phone owners and anyone who iHearts Windows phones.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there's an analyst working at IHI, formerly known as...
I think it was IHS, formerly known
IHS.
Formerly known as
iSupply. IHI is something different. IHS. Anyway, he's predicting that by the year 2015, Windows phones will bump out iPhones and become the second place leading phone in the marketplace.
Yeah, for market share.
Market share, yeah.
I always find these things really interesting, like being a data guy myself.
How do they predict so far out, really?
Well,
I think
there's a whole bunch of analytics and like looking at the past and then looking at comparables in different industries and then doing a whole lot of crystal ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like pulling things out.
I predict it will be number one shareholder in the marketplace.
For people
My
that
prediction.
Work at Microsoft and their families.
Exactly.
It will be a high 80% to 90% market share.
But he's basing this obviously with the partnership with Nokia and the release of the Lumia 800 900,
yeah.
Which are really, really slick looking phones. We did a story on them here. It's got, I think it's a 4.3-inch screen. It's just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, I think with the 4G LTE, like that seems to be the big buzz that's out there for most phones, just being able to get on those networks.
I didn't realize that Droid was the number one. I would have thought iPhone.
Well,
but Droid apparently has 58% of the marketplace.
So it's all Android devices. So this is where I think these numbers kind of break down. Is like when you look at a portfolio of competitive devices versus any individual type of phone. So for example, iPhone has three major ones out there right now. There's the 4S, the 4, and the 3GS.
Right.
And There's lots and lots of units of those few devices. But if you look at Android all up, there's just dozens and dozens of different offerings. And Microsoft is trying to take a hybrid approach where it's like Microsoft wants to be a bit more strong-handed with our hardware partners so that we give a better experience to developers and end users. So it's like we're taking some of the iPhone, some of the Android, and we're mixing it together into this really interesting in-between strategy that could yield very high market share, but also ideally high customer satisfaction. So the metrics that I would really like to see over time would be the customer satisfaction rate, as well as the repeat purchases, like people that have purchased a Windows phone, how many of them, when their contracts are up,
go back and get another one,
get like the newest version. And then from a business point of view, I'd also like to see like the revenue, the attached revenue that Microsoft sees from getting those Windows phone, because like iPhone and Apple have very high premiums on their products, so they get a lot of revenue from that. Android being a relatively free, you know, plus the licensing costs that they have to pay to people that own the patents. Google doesn't see a whole lot of revenue directly from the device itself, but they're looking to get search revenue and other types of, and like the marketplace revenue and stuff like that. But Microsoft, you know, has a small fee per device for hardware manufacturers, as well as, you know, we take a cut from the marketplace. So I'd be really interested to see.
So we're double dipping.
Yeah, per device sales and how that compares over time.
Maybe someone out there can get this information for Paul. Maybe
you could just make
a spreadsheet.
I could totally make a spreadsheet.
Just write a script and.
Yes,
and I was
data.
Actually interested that people still use Blackberries.
Who's
using a Blackberry?
I think they've done a lot of reach out to businesses out there, and I think the one thing that they have that they generally do better than everyone else still is just like they have better smartphones with physical keyboards.
It was a big discussion in my team not too long ago whether or not people are just kind of getting used to it and dealing with the fact that we don't have physical keyboards anymore, or if it's really like a pro to not have it, like a positive thing. I kind of miss my physical keyboard.
I missed it at first. I don't miss it now. The only time I do miss it now is not looking at the screen.
When you're driving?
No, I still look at the screen when I drive. I usually have like a camera app so I can see like the road through the camera and still be able to type.
That's good.
But,
good thinking.
But no, it's. I think that that BlackBerry really needs to have some big win soon if they want to continue.
Yeah, I thought that was gone with the dinosaur, but apparently some people are still BBMing.
Yeah,
not
it
me.
Happens. Anyway. Hopefully, we'll see in 3 years if these predictions are right, or if it's going to be like those predictions they made about Xbox 360 being like second or third way behind the Wii and PlayStation 3, and now
number one.
Well, depending on how you look at it, yeah. So.
All right,
Laura.
Yes.
A few years back, I had dated a gamer chick.
You did?
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah.
Did you virtually date her, or was she a real life
person? Well, we're not going to go into the specifics about it, but we'll just say
she sounded sexy on the headset.
Yeah, that's right. But so when we had our first kiss, you know what I whispered in her ear after that?
I don't know if I want to know.
I whispered, "Achievement unlocked," and she absolutely loved it. It was,
she did.
It was fantastic.
I believe that is a true story.
That is more or less a true story. And anyway, this also relates to something that's been going off in Microsoft land. About a year ago, I saw a post on Reddit where they linked to this blog where it was saying, "Wouldn't it be cool if there were achievements that you could earn while you code?"
Yeah.
And like probably millions of people saw this. And here we are now with Microsoft putting out, as Boing Boing calls it, a text adventure game.
Yes.
So you can actually code in Visual Studio and earn these achievements.
That's awesome. I mean, back in the day, you know, because I'm so much older than you, Paul, I started gaming doing these text adventure games where you're, you know, just literally on the screen, you're in a room and you type in go left.
Uh-huh.
And then you're like, you're facing a wall. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You played these?
They're called Doors, and they were on BBSs.
BBSs?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
where did you play this?
On my computer.
Yeah. Did you just, was it your own?
On my Commodore 128, yo.
It was like a single computer. It wasn't even a networked thing. You weren't even playing with other real people.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I try not to meet real people online. I see that you found love that way, but.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was probably one of the world's best Trade Wars players.
Nice.
And then not that bad at Legend of the
Red
Dragon.
Is that what you told your girlfriend?
No.
Is that how you got her?
No.
You sealed the deal with that bit of information?
Her voice always sounded too deep and raspy. It's kind of weird.
Anyway, not unlike, and a simpler version, Ribbon Hero.
Yep.
So you can unlock achievements while you're doing everyday tasks
and
in Microsoft Office, and you can hang out with Clippy. Here's a hardcore version for coders and people who use Visual Studio, just to make it a little bit more fun. I think there should be achievements for everything.
I do think there's a push for gamification of different things, because it keeps people interested in learning how to do different little pieces. Like, there's something called Code Academy.
Yeah.
CodeAcademy.com. A lot of people are pledging this year that are in, like, tech journalists, that they're going to learn the basics of coding. And if you go to CodeAcademy.com, you can learn JavaScript.
Really?
And just things
I
like
should
really,
check that out.
And you earn achievements and points and different things like that. But for Visual Studio, I think that this is pretty cool, because it has like the little toast that pops up when you earn an achievement and gives you like a little badge. And there are a few.
Have you played it?
I haven't, but
You looked about.
Yeah, I haven't coded in about a month, so I should probably install it before I make some more stuff. But there are a few achievements that I thought were pretty interesting. There's the interrupting cow.
Yes.
Which is 10 breakpoints in a file.
Okay.
And do you know what the interrupting, have you heard the interrupting cow knock knock joke?
Moo. Yes, yeah. I have.
Okay. And then there's another one that's Turtles All the Way Down, which is a class with 10 levels of inheritance. One of my favorite ones was Go to Hell, where you use the go to keyword, which is obviously a very bad practice. It's like
right.
spaghetti coding.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't do that.
You don't really want to do that.
You wouldn't do that.
And then the last one I'm going to mention is, it's called Regional Manager, which is 10 regions in a class.
That's awesome.
And, well, I think it would have been even more awesome if there was like a two-level achievement there. Like, the first one would be like 5 regions in a class, and you could call it Assistant to the Regional Manager.
That would be good.
But I don't think that's...
We could probably get in touch with the people who made this game and throw that in their suggestion box.
Probably could.
But anyway, you guys should all play it. It's, it keeps coding fun. Right? As though it's not fun already.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Paul, so we've been covering Bing since Bing's birth, really.
Yeah.
Even prior to that. You know,
even when it came out with the Bing tones.
Bing tones. You know, we've had Bing contests. Bing goes the internet. We've been covering Bing, and it's always been the decision engine.
Yeah, it
which
is.
Which I like. I like that little catchphrase.
Yeah.
I think it's fitting. Apparently, Microsoft doesn't like it.
Oh, I don't know if that they don't like it, but I think they're also exploring some other ways to get Bing out there. And the latest is, what is it? Bing is for doing.
Bing is for doing. But, first of all, it sounds okay, but when you read it, it almost looks like Bing is for doing.
Well, or it could be being is for doing.
Right. I get that they're trying to play on the ing ending of the words, and there's, being is for doing, living, healing, etc.
Deciding.
Right. I mean, we know what happened with the, was it the Windows 8 campaign? No.
The
IE8 and everything ends in the 8, and I don't think that flew well. So we'll see how the ing flies with the Bing is for doing. But I also find it a little bit personally frustrating, and these are my opinions, not those of Microsoft as a whole, but to clutter the space with such mixed branding. I feel like we've got so many products and so much out there, and it's so unclear as to what is what, and there's Hotmail and Windows Live and Windows Mail and Live Mail, all this stuff, and like now we're throwing another tagline out for something. Just keep it clean and simple.
Yeah,
Bing, the decision engine, done. Now I have to decide between which tagline I want. It's too much.
Well, you
too many choices.
You as a consumer don't really get to decide that at all, really. Right?
Like, no.
You just kind of go to Bing and you type in what you want, and then you're either deciding
but when
what
I'm
you
talking
want, and then
to,
you do what
but when
you
I'm
want.
Talking to my friends about Binging, I say, Bing, the decision engine, and then I continue my sentence. And now I have to make the choice to say Bing, Bing is for doing, or say Bing, the decision engine, and then finish my thought. So I do have a choice.
I can see how this could be confusing for somebody like you.
It is.
I do find it interesting, though, that they're bringing out some campaigns around people that are like big-time sports stars, especially in certain demographics. So there's like this whole minute-long ad with some famous snowboarders. So
And how he uses Bing, and it really helps his life. And Kevin Pierce is the story. And I guess this is going to ramp up with the NFC Championship game yesterday.
Yeah.
So hopefully you all watched it and let us know what you think.
Yeah,
Bing, is it for doing or is it the decision engine?
Is it for deciding?
Right. Why?
Man.
We've solved it.
I should go into marketing.
We're done. Always one to admit my flaws, and Microsoft as a whole likes to admit when perhaps they have made a mistake.
To admit when you're wrong, yeah.
A lot of people
here at Microsoft love doing that.
Yeah, it's just awesome. It's really the temperature of this whole company. They just admit when we're wrong. But apparently Larry Herb, Major Nelson, posted onto his blog that Microsoft, and Xbox specifically, is aware that there's been some video playback issues from the Xbox once they updated their dashboard. I haven't had any problems. Do you watch videos through your Xbox?
Yeah, I actually watch a lot of videos through
my Xbox. I haven't had this color issue, but I guess some people have.
I haven't personally seen there to be any like extra degradation in the quality of the video.
Yeah.
I've questioned some of the design decisions that have been made with like some of the partner apps, like Netflix and Hulu Plus have both kind of changed their interfaces a bit. And there's like some nice things and some not so nice things.
Right.
Like it's really.
But that's just your personal opinion.
Right. Yeah.
That's
like,
not a,
like with Netflix.
That's not a flaw. That's
right.
Just Paul doesn't like.
Well, I mean, one thing I do like about Netflix is that like with like one push of a button, you can just continue watching the next episode in a series.
Yes.
So like you can just sit there.
I went through the entire season 1 and 2 of Weeds just hitting the button. It's a great show, by the way. You should really watch it.
Were you baking at the time?
No, I don't bake, Paul.
Okay.
I don't bake,
just curious.
Yeah, so heavily.
I personally haven't seen this. If you guys have seen this, let us know. I guess the Xbox team is looking into the details of this,
and then it will be fixed. No ETA yet, but they will have an update soon. So you can check here, or you can probably just go straight to Major Nelson's blog because he is the Xbox man.
He is.
All right, everybody, that wraps it up for this week. Good to be back. We made it through the snow. I'm about to head back out into the snow. I'm actually going to go to my office. Are you heading home?
I need to get breakfast.
You need to get breakfast. It's 2 p.m.
Yeah.
In Seattle, by the way. Paul's stomach is growling. But that's it for this week. We'll be back next week. And as always, follow me on Twitter at Elfoy.
And me on Facebook at facebook.com/paul.mestemaker.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I have...
We don't have enough time in the show.
I have, like, 540 subscribers now.
What do you say on facebook.com/paulmestemaker?
Yeah, it's usually just a lot of posts I have on TechCrunch and stuff like that.
So it's self-promotion.
Yeah, it's pretty much that. And it's things that I eat in Buenos Aires when I travel.
Nice. When are you traveling next?
I don't know. I'm probably going to go to Shanghai.
Give me a little warning next this time.
No, I tell you these things, and then it's just like, oh, you're out. Well,
one ear,
anyway, we're done.
See you next week. Nothing.